towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. And how about a third time? Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. I see some chatting going on in the background, so maybe we could hold off on that until there's question and answer time. And I appreciate people welcoming Suzanne and so forth, but if there's anything else, I'm sort of reading through these messages, I apologize. Yeah, I'm just going to close this window so I can pay attention to what I'm doing here, okay? If I can close it, how do I get that close? There we go. Okay. So we continue on this theme of clearing the dust and polishing the lamp. And, you know, it could be a lifelong study for sure, indeed. We have select readings again for this month with supportive practices. And I'm reading from an esoteric paper that most of you probably have access to, but some of you don't. And it's called, they're kind of unpublished papers for the Sufis, depending on a level of initiation that you may have. And these are from the Sangeetas, and it's number one. You know, of course, I think everything's for everybody, and people understand at the level at which they understand, and at another time they understand at a level of which they understand. So although these papers may be considered quite esoteric or secret, the words we're all familiar with, they're in English, and hopefully they make sense to you. And I think they do, certainly within the context of this teaching. So the teaching goes like this, and it's interesting about these bodies of teachings, these more advanced teachings, are almost like commentaries on previous teachings. And so they're very pithy, and they're very short. So this one has to do with, it's Sangeetha 1, Metaphysics on Purpose. And the words go like this. The heart is a window between mind and soul. The heart is a window between mind and soul. For the soul to send its light to the mind, and for the knowledge of the mind to be reflected on the soul. So for a moment, I'm going to go off screen and share my screen with us, and we're going to look at the diagram that we looked at a few months ago and sort of look at this in relationship to just this one sentence, and then we'll go further. But I think the visual aid maybe will help us. Okay, one moment, please. So I'll read this quote again, and you'll see. And we remember we talked about these concentric circles, almost like the onion covering consciousness and the evolution of consciousness as it comes into manifestation through the body and the interaction of these realms with each other. So here now Murshid is saying to us again, the heart is a window between mind and soul. So you see that. The heart ring is really at the center of it all. So if we look at the different levels that we have, of which there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? Or 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, help me count, 5. So that's right in the middle. The heart is right in the middle. The heart is a window between mind and soul for the soul to send its light to the mind, and the mind to let the knowledge of the mind be reflected on the soul. So we've had some discussions. I know some of you even here have asked this question about the soul and about the purity of the soul and how it can remain untouched. And yet here in this teaching, which is a more esoteric level of teaching, Rosh Hashanah is talking about the soul having a relationship to the mind in that it can receive impressions from the mind. Now, I think this is important because if you look at other teachings in Sufism, we talk about, you know, in Christianity, we talk about people ascending to hell, ascending to heaven, or we might be descending to hell. We'll see if you're good boys or bad boys, or good girls or bad girls. But anyway, I think that's all relative, and we know when we've missed the mark, which is the true meaning of sin. But here we see that the soul, there's even a deeper level, pure consciousness. It's like the ground of everything that's completely empty. But in this instance, again, Murshid is making this reference between mind and soul and the dialogue that they have each other through the heart. This will be further clarified in a few moments. And then Murshid goes on to say, let me step back for a moment. This idea in some religions of the hereafter and where we may go in the hereafter. But in Sufism, we always talk about we are coming from this divine ray. We travel from the great divine light into manifestation, and we return again. And so the soul, interestingly enough, can gather knowledge from this earthly plane. And when it ascends, it can return to the source with this knowledge. Now, Maharishi Devera would always say to us when she talk on these subjects that there's an opportunity when the soul is returning and when one is descending into its earthly body for transference of knowledge to take place. So we see that in science. And she always gave the example of Einstein maybe transferring knowledge to Stephen Hawking for the advancement of understanding in physics. So as the soul may be gathering information or reflections, it said, from the mind, it can gather that and evolve of sorts. So it's not just this completely neutral ground. Consciousness is that. And out of consciousness, then the individuated soul emerges. And then through the heart, the soul shines light into the mind, and the mind, as it gathers information, shares it with the soul or reflects it on the soul. In this teaching, Murshid goes on to say, therefore, when the heart is closed, the communication between the soul and the mind is closed. When the heart is closed, the communication between the soul and the mind are closed. The heart of a spiritual person vibrates continually. The heart of a spiritual person vibrates continually. The more alive it is, the more it responds to every reflection of beauty. The more alive it is, the more it responds to every reflection of beauty. Love, harmony, and beauty could be described right here. From this feeling heart, the heart opens. Some many conditions can create that. Happy and sad conditions open the heart. It becomes an area where soul and mind can communicate. And we have these ideas of love, harmony, and beauty. So the harmonization comes through the heart between the soul and the mind. And one continually responds to this sense of beauty. And of course, beauty can be found in many ways and in various guises, let's say. Beauty is something far deeper than form. It can be formless as well, or it can be hidden in the form. So Murshid also says to see with the eyes of the heart. That's a good word to hear, and to hear with the eyes of the heart. So that's something to keep tuning to, tuning into the heart and the receptivity of the heart. And that as a transmitter and possibly even a transmuter, if you think about it. So we're going to go a little bit further. And this is from Sufi Message, Volume 5, known as Spiritual Liberty. And the subject, again, is heart and soul. And Murshid talks about the human being's heart, in his words, man's heart, but we could say our heart. Our heart is the throne of God. Our heart is the throne of God. Think of that. The heart as the throne of God. And when we practice zikr, what are we doing when we make this motion? We're circumambulating the throne of God. And when we put the head down, we bow before the throne of God, which is residing right here. How beautiful is that to reflect upon that? Murshid says, the heart is not only a physical organ, but it is the function of feeling placed in the midst of the body and soul. The heart is not only a physical organ, but it is also a function, but is also the function of feeling placed in the midst of the body and the soul. Listen to this next phrase very carefully, and I'm going to repeat it a few times because I think it is so profound that we can't even imagine what it is. Excuse me, I've lost my place here a little bit, so I have to find my way back to Zoom. Here it is. Okay. The heart of flesh is the instrument which first receives the feeling of the soul and transmits its effect through the whole body. Okay, listen again, and then I'll stop for a few moments and say some words about this. The heart of flesh is the instrument which first receives the feeling of the soul and transmits its whole effect through the body. We have heard so many things about the relationship of our consciousness, our awareness, this body-mind, we could say body-mind-heart connection. I think this is so profoundly significant to us, especially as we get older, especially as we start to develop our signs of aging or heaven forbid, have any kind of illness. You know, they call illness dis-ease. dis/ease. So now Murshid is giving us a huge teaching in this one sentence. The heart of flesh is the instrument which receives the feeling of the soul and transmits the effect through the whole body. Everything that happens comes towards us, that we give out, that's in our environment and in our interactions, have this effect. It can't be helped. This is called life. But we must know, not only know, but we must practice how to transmute and purify these things, or they will have an effect on us. And if we can practice this very well, I believe, and I had asked Murshid to die. I'll tell you a little story. I don't know if I've actually told this story. During one of their visits, Murshida Aziza had contracted a urinary tract infection. And you know, for elders, that can be very dangerous. So she wasn't doing well. She tried to be very self-contained about it. We did get her to a doctor and had her treated, but it had come to a state because she was hiding it from all of us. Anyway, she was there in the bed when she came back from the doctor, and I said to Mercia to diet. She couldn't. He was asking her to do her practices, and she couldn't. She wasn't in the mind to do it. And I said to him, can we not do the practices for her? And he said, absolutely we can. So I believe that, at least for me, it's good to become the best practitioner I can be. And that means doing my practices and concentrations and prayers every day to benefit not only myself, but others. And to purify the impressions. Now, I also tell you, every day when I do those practices, I'm not alone, because I call all of you. I imagine we are all sitting together doing those practices. And then I dedicate the merit. So God willing, they are a benefit. And I would ask that you consider doing the same. The heart of flesh is the instrument which first receives the feeling of the soul and transmits its effect through the whole body. Now, Mercia, he's really a spiritual physician, and he is giving us now this kind of anatomy of the heart. And he talks about four aspects of heart. And we're going to go through them one by one. Of course, this study guide will be available so you can study it further. And to each one of these aspects of heart, we're going to assign a wazifa, a sacred name. And we're going to do this together, very slowly, very deliberately, so that we can gain an understanding and tend to this heart and tend to these aspects of heart. How's that sound? Want to shake your heads or acknowledge, thumbs up, hands raised? Does it sound like a good thing to go do together? Thank you, Gemma, for your enthusiastic response. Okay. The first aspect of the heart is this. It's called Arsh. Arsh. Arsh is the exaltation of will. The exaltation of will. It's lifting our will up to the heart in exaltation. Arsh is the canopy, imagine this, the canopy over the highest heaven. It's the canopy over the highest heaven. Arsh, the divine spirit, an aura which is called the highest heaven, capital letters, highest heaven. Only the great prophets have reached this realm. Only the great prophets have reached this realm. So what is this talking about? Maybe in yogic terms, it's like a kind of samadhi experience that's so extraordinarily high that we're in direct contact with the voice of God, the understanding, the knowledge, the realization. It's transmitted there. For me, when I was thinking about this, I thought of Moses, how he climbed Mount Sinai. So he literally ascended, but he also ascended. So Arsh, the highest heaven. I'd like to work with this sacred name called Ali. Ali. Ali means the highest and the most exalted. So Arsh and Ali have this connection in terms of meaning. And hopefully, as we work through these practices over the next month or so, within our own consciousness. Now, let me explain a little bit about Ali, and then we'll do the practice. Most of you know the meaning, but it's important to just review together. So it means to be exalted beyond form. And it is purely transcendent. So we're reaching this state of formlessness and transcendence. Absolute resurrection. Ali means absolutely above, totally beyond, and beyond the point where there is nothing. I mean, who amongst us is willing to go there and become nothing? The ascension of the will, giving up our will. Murshid has said recently in the Bowls of Saki that we can't possibly know God if we also know ourselves, in a way, like we're attached to our self-identity, but to let it all go. And maybe it's not practical to walk in this state all day, every day, but if we can touch it, then we know we have that knowledge inside, and perhaps we can then share that with others. Or radiated. So Ali is the vision of the highest. It's like the vision of the heart throne of God, the heart throne of God. And it is suspended above everything in infinite mercy. Infinite mercy. Some of you I know are working with the novenas. And we're on the one of divine mercy, this infinite ocean of mercy, divine mercy. So let's work with this practice. And with it, we try to lift our individuated will and take it up, up, up to the highest heaven. Let the breath and the sound lift you. And imagine that we're ascending to this heart throne of God. Okay. Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali. Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali. Ya Ali. Now whisper Ali and let the breath take you higher, higher to the highest heavens. Right now it's just a concept, but on your own with your breath, you'll be able to experience that. And hopefully with the help of this group in this moment, we can help lift each other. So we say in a whisper, Ali, 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 Ali. and now silently on the breath. Ya Ali. The next aspect, the second aspect of heart, is the seat of justice and distinction. So these, as Murshid has described them, are a kind of, we're talking first about the highest heaven, and now we're coming to the part of the seat of justice and distinction. Remember, Arsh is formlessness, infinite space, the highest of the high. But this word is called Kursi or Kurshi, is the seat of justice and distinction. This is, Kursi or Kursi is the throne of God. Now we've arrived there. It is an exalted realm of tremendous knowing. So remember, just as Moses ascended Mount Sinai, Moses received divine instructions or revelation from God. So there's a practice that is also profoundly related to this idea of justice and distinction. And the practice is, it's spelled A-D-L, A-D-L, and it's pronounced Adl, Adl. It means the just and the equitable, the just and the equitable. A few words about Adl. The essence of Al-Adl is fluid. It's a merciful quality that mediates and brings all existence into true balance and harmony. How much we need this! In that first teaching, when Murshid is talking about this kind of mediation, the heart's the mediator between the mind and the soul. Now we have this practice, Adl. It mediates and brings all into true balance and harmony. It is both, I could say maybe the one that seeks balance, the balancer and the balanced. So it helps us with this. It guides us towards that. It guides us to a harmonious balance of all things, of all things. And Al-Adl balances the names of beauty and power, the names of beauty and the names of power. We know that that is part of what we're always seeking. Could be one of the purposes in life, to balance beauty and power. So now let's work with Adl. Ya 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 Adl. Now whisper. Adl. 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 Just breathe in and out. Edo. Ja, edel. So now we have two aspects. We'll move to the third, but the first one again is moving to this highest heaven. The second one is coming down into this area of distinction where we seek balance between things that are beautiful, sensitive, tender, gentle, and things that are powerful, protective, assertive, and finding the balance between these things. What is just and what is equitable. Now, the third phase of the heart, or the third aspect of the heart, is called Lao. Lao. L-A-W-H, L-A-W-H. And this describes, again, the third aspect, which is the fount of inspiration. It's rising and appearing. It's shining and it's manifest. So we've gone from the formless, now we're coming to the more manifest. This word is also means tablet, or signboard. Think about that. Moses receives these tablets in which God writes with his finger the Ten Commandments. I'm just using it as a metaphor. Perhaps you have something else in your own mind that works as well. So this is shining, it's manifest, it's appearing. It's rising or arising. And I'd like to assign a practice with this to emphasize this aspect of heart. And that is Zahir. Zahir. Z-A-H-I-R. And again, in the study guide, which will be on the website, you can read all these, and also there will be in the gold lettering, they're active links. So you can go to a pronunciation guide for all of these words. Zahir is the most outward and the most manifest. Like the sun at its height, its zenith. It is so evident and so bright that you may not even notice its existence. God's quality of being most manifest is hidden in plain view. You know, it's said that God is hidden in the heart of man and woman. We always see it, but it's there. It's in nature. It's in us. It's in every molecule of everything. Is singing, manifesting God. So let's work with this word, Zahir, this sacred name, this blessed name, meaning the manifest. Ya Zahir. 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 And now we whisper. The fourth aspect of the heart, as described by Murshid, is Kalam. Kalam, K-A-L-A-M. And this is the source of intuition. This might be when we hear that spirit of guidance, the source of intuition, it's coming through Kalam. And Kalam means literally speech, word, utterance. Speech, word, utterance. So we've gone from the highest heavens to the throne of God, which is the seat of justice, to the expression of that in the given word. And now it was as if the word was written on a tablet or the sign we could see in nature, you know, the holy manuscript of nature. And we read it. It speaks to the ears of the heart. We hear what the real meaning is that's hidden in manifestation. Kalam. And Kalam Allah means the one who communicates with God. And so we see again, as in the example of Moses that I've been given here, he receives the message. First he ascends to the highest heavens. He doesn't even know where he is. It's a formless place, but he's willing to go because he knows he has to. And then he comes before the throne of God, and he's given these commandments to give to the people. And how in the world is he going to do that? And the finger of God writes on the tablets. The signs become clear. And then Moses is asked to go back and give this message to his people. Kalam Allah is the one that communicates with God. And he delivers this message to the people. So Kalam, the source of intuition. And of course, the sacred name, the divine name that's associated with this would be Alim. Ya Alim. Alim is the omniscient knowledge of God. Its ultimate meaning is all-inclusive. Its ultimate meaning is all-inclusive. It includes both inner and outer knowledge of the seen and the unseen, the hidden and the manifest. Alim means the emanation of knowledge that reaches everything without exception. It reaches everything without exception, but of course, do we have the eyes and the ears to see and hear and know? Considering all its forms, Al-Alim is mentioned in the holy book, the Quran, more than any other single attribute of God. Imagine that, Alim, more than any other of the names in that book, this divine knowledge, omniscient knowledge. So let's work with Ya Alim. Ya Alim. Ya Alim. Ali. Ya 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 Ali. And now whisper the sacred name, Ali. And now just silently take this divine knowledge, this sacred attribute, and ask it to vibrate in every cell of our being so that we are receptive to the Word of God. Ya Alim. I'd like for us to try, even though it may seem a little challenging, but it's good. I've been working with the practice in this way over the past month to see how it would work. And I'd like for you to consider this. Visualizing yourself sitting in the center of a lake, a beautiful lake. The surroundings can be as you wish. Make them your own inner beautiful landscape. But at the center of this lake, you are in complete equipoise. And at the center of you is your heart. And your heart possesses these four aspects. And circumambulating your heart are these sacred words and sacred sounds. It's like a rosary that's turning over and over again. At the center of your being, the throne of your heart. And let's try to say these words all together, these sacred words, as one practice. And if you can, visualize your lake perfectly calm so that all of the surroundings. And if there's nothing near the lake to be reflected in the lake, then it's just the clear blue sky. And I'd like to suggest that this be a place you visit again and again as a way of protecting and balancing this heart so that the impressions can be purified transmuted and released into calm equipoise. Do it at least once a day. It doesn't need to take a lot of time. But see if it's not of benefit to you. And you may want to then use these words, circumambulating the heart in this calm, a prayer, a circle of protection around this heart, this feeling heart that is receptive to everything, but those impressions that are not needed or perhaps hurtful and can have its influence on other parts of our being, like our body, we release them. We just turn them and turn them until they become this beautiful light. A circle of protection. And so we say, Ya'ali, Ya'ado, Ya'zahir, Ya Alim, Ya Ali, Ya Adel, Ya Zahir, Ya Alim, Ya Ali, Ya Adel, Ya Zahir, Ya Alim, Ya Ali, Ya Adel, Ya Zahir, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Adel, Ya Zahir, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Adel, Ya Zahir, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Adel, Ya Zahir, Ya Ali. Ya Ali, Ya Ar, Ya Zahir, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ar, Ya Zahir, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ar, Ya Zahir, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Adel, Ya Zahir, Ya Ali. And now we whisper, Ali, Adel, Zahir, Ali, Ali, Adel, Ya Zahir, Ali. Now in the breath, feeling these words internally, Ali, the highest, Adel, the able, the just, the equitable, Zahir, the manifest, may it be revealed to us even in its hidden form, and Alim, omniscient knowledge, all-pervading wisdom. Ali, Adel, Zahir, Aleem. Murshid closes this teaching with these words. Breath keeps body, heart, and soul connected. Breath keeps body, heart, and soul connected. It consists of astral it being the breath and the heart, consists of astral vibrations and has much more influence upon the physical and spiritual existence. The first thing a Sufi undertakes in order to harmonize the entire existence is purification of the heart. Purification of the heart. So take this practice of sitting at the center of the lake. This is like the center of a mandala, and the whole lake, you know, just notice the condition when you sit down, and with your practice, calm the lake. This practice Peervalaya had us do as part of our training so that we could become more aware and more sensitive to the vibrations around us, and not to be deluded by what people are saying, but to hear the meaning between the words often. In this practice, we did it every time we came together for our training, was so that we could notice, once we had calmed our leg, if something was hitting the surface. So again, an impression or something coming towards us, it would create a ripple, just like the wind on the surface of the ocean. Or if something was arising from bubbling up from below, from our own consciousness, from our own heart, our own awareness, it's a very good practice. So think of taking this as one of your own, just to some self-training, some self-discipline, and also is a really great tool to calm any disturbances for the health of the heart and the mind and the body. Now I have a whole other half of a teaching to give, but I think our time has come to a close, and I think it's quite enough for today. So I'd like to first of all take a moment to dedicate the merit of any goodness that has arisen from our time together in our practice, to dedicate to all beings, and to offer our immense gratitude for the ability to join together and to have this time and the luxury of being together and joining in practice. We're not running for our lives, seeking protection. We are here and we're able to do this but please send any goodness as comfort to those hearts and souls that need it the most in the world. As always, I give people an opportunity, not necessary, by the way, but if you wish to help support, we're always getting bills on an ongoing basis for websites and domain names and Zoom charges for being able to have larger classes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you'd like to help in some small way, there are links on our page, sufi-message.org, or my personal Facebook page. I have a donation link there too. And every little bit counts. If we all add to it, it adds up. And if we could please close with the prayer Khatum. After the prayer, if you'd like to stay for a little bit, we can open it up for question and answer and conversation. Happy to clarify anything or also to hear anything you wish to share. O thou, who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide men. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit. And unite us all in thy perfect love.